And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Thornock. Hey, Spencer, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I love your voice. Does Spencer have a great radio voice or what?
It's a good voice.
It's been getting deeper lately because I've had a little bit of a cold.
Oh, really? It does sound deeper.
You sound like
Barry White or something.
How you doing?
Wow, that
Radio
is...
Radio Land.
That is cool. And, of course, we have a special guest in studio. You may recognize this gentleman from the Breakthrough Sports Shows Wednesday and Friday, 2 to 4. It is Greg Isaac wearing a Dodgers shirt.
I sure am. You know, I actually like when I have colds because of that very reason. It makes my voice sound better.
And you get a lot of dates, don't you?
I do. Yeah, as long as my voice is deep.
I deliberately get colds, I still don't get dates. So, what's up with that?
Are you a Dodgers fan?
I am.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Here, I'll move a little further away.
It's all right. It's all right. I have nothing bad against the Dodgers, except their fans are kind of annoying.
Some of them are. I admit
that. They are.
Oh, yeah.
Not as bad. That is New York fans.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's
oh,
scary.
Man.
Yeah.
I like the Diamondbacks as my home team, and really the first kind of baseball games I started. I actually was a season ticket holder.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 06, 07.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. And that's the fun thing about owning tickets to the D-backs is you get so many games.
Like, oh, yeah.
You are going.
Huge. Do you like baseball?
So much. Yeah, I do. I really do. I enjoy it. It's not as exciting as, it can be exciting, but it's not as exciting as, NFL or basketball. But I really like the math behind it. The statistics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And really tracking the players and looking at the strategy of the coaches and what they're doing based on the numbers.
Oh, yeah. And they're making that movie Moneyball based on Billy Bean, the Oakland Athletics general manager.
Cool.
On Sabermetrics and how he made a team basically through a computer. He puts his numbers in and decides, this is the guy I want. So it's a little bit different than some other teams, some other scouts and general managers do it. But I think that movie comes out later this year, and there's a star-studded cast. I can't think of who's in it now, but a lot of good people.
Probably Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he's in everything. Like
yeah, definitely.
You know that he's a distant cousin of Madonna?
Is he?
Isn't that something?
Really?
He probably is six steps away from Kevin Bacon.
Probably has something.
Somehow.
That is good.
He's probably met him, though.
So when have you been to the, when's your last Diamondback appearance?
Actually, I went to the season opener.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was. I went and the Jets flew over. Actually, we didn't get quite. We didn't make it in for first pitch, which was. I never miss first pitch, but we didn't quite make it there in time. So the Jets flew over while we were walking in. Wait, you know what? Yeah. That was for a second there. I thought it might have been the Cardinals, but no. That was.
Wow.
I was thinking about downtown and the stadium for a second there.
So ask me when my last appearance was.
When was yours?
Take a guess.
I don't know, man. You're not a baseball guy?
Last night.
You went last night?
We have media credentials, and I'm there. We're in the press room.
Really?
They would get mad if they saw me wearing
a
shirt.
Yeah, they don't like, don't tell
I enjoy
them
you're
wearing a Dodgers shirt. Good thing your back's to the camera.
Exactly, and it just says dad on it.
We should, just the color, we can make it, think it's kind of a
And the compliments room. To the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Everyone I talk to, they
Very
everyone
nice
that works there,
there
say this is one of the best organizations ever. It's a family type of organization, and it's really nice to be among those people.
Mm-hmm.
All the media people are cool. The reporters from we've had Mark McClune on from Fox
Sports. Very,
nice Jody Jackson's very nice. Of course, Todd Walsh. I mean, they're all really cool people. I don't know. It's just really neat going there.
Well, no, the media section is on the same level as the Diamond level, right? Is it like the middle level?
No, I don't think it's on the same level. It's where Darren Sutton is. It's on that level.
That's where the boxes are.
Where a broadcast team is.
Yeah, broadcast.
Yeah, I think that's like the
second
level.
It's really nice view, though. Yeah. It's a great view.
Yeah, because we sat out at left field or right field.
Oh, you did?
Which I've never sat in outfield before.
Did you like it?
I didn't like it as much. Yeah. As far as watching the game, it was difficult to see if it was out or a foul in the field.
You'd rather sit like third or first or home plate?
I always sit as close to home plate as I can. Yeah.
Which is good.
And, you know, there's not a bad seat in that stadium.
Like, not at all.
The season tickets we owned were in the section 318, which were the third level.
Yeah,
but we were close down, and it was beautiful. Like you can, it's gorgeous. You're just looking down on the field, and it's not really that far away.
Yeah,
excellent stadium. And how many games did you go when you had the season tickets?
I didn't miss very many of them.
Really? So you love it, huh?
Yeah. I actually bought them with a girlfriend. We split them, and then we ended up splitting up right before the season started, so I got, like, my share of the tickets.
Oh, my gosh. So you had custody, huh?
I got my you know, because we bought four seats, because her parents were also really into the Diamondbacks.
Really?
So we had four seats, and I got half the season, so.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Which half?
Yeah. We split it up. He took all the Boston games, though.
Oh, he did? Because
he's a huge Boston fan. Her dad. I didn't care. That's fine. I think I got one.
I'm glad you clarified that, because you said he took it. And
no,
you
no, no, no.
I was going to clarify.
I'm shocked.
I was going to clarify it for you.
Thank you for clarifying, because the radio land.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you were talking about the girlfriend's dad, though.
Yeah, the girlfriend's dad took all the Boston games. That's, you know.
That's a bummer. That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah. But, you know, I went last season with a friend of mine. He's a big New York fan, and we went to a game when New York was playing here, and it was just packed.
Oh, yeah.
It was all New York fans.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be huge.
Yeah. It was still fun, though. Yeah. But, you know, and then there's the football with Raiders fans.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're crazy.
Yeah. I went to the Raiders game this last season, and just made the bad decision of going to a bachelor party the night before.
Oh, okay.
And I was really hurting that day, and I had the worst headache, and I just walked right when we got in the stadium. It was just so loud, and I'm like, But here's a tip, though.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit there because we were also right up, right next. We were on the top level, but it's the circle of honor with all the banners. It's right on the rail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really nice seats. Right. But there's like two little rows up behind us. There's the metal wall. These guys were just banging on it, and it was like a drum, like a bass drum in my ears. So I got up, and I was walking around because, like, I felt like I was going to throw up. And I went to the first aid and asked them if they had it, and they gave me earplugs.
Oh, really?
At first
they
aid.
Did?
Yeah.
Nice.
They're like, sure, here you go. And they gave me some earplugs.
They're used to that.
I guess, you know, maybe.
So you've been to University of Phoenix Stadium.
Yeah.
Chase Field. How about Jobbing.com Arena?
No, I don't think I have been
Beautiful
there.
Stadium.
Yeah. Really?
You know, I think Phoenix has three of the most amazing stadiums. Yeah. I mean, I think U.S. Airways Center is nice, too.
Yeah.
It's not as new, I don't believe.
I've been there. Older. Yeah.
But man, we're really blessed here with great stadiums.
For basketball, U.S. Airways is pretty good. When the Coyotes played there, when it was America West, it wasn't
seats.
Good, yeah, because you had obstructed view seats on the second level. But going back to the Yankees, it's funny because there's Yankee fans that I've known that will actually prefer the Red Sox to lose rather than the Yankees winning.
They're just happier when the Sox are losing.
Exactly. Yeah. So if
you know what's interesting is a good friend of mine, George. He's from Boston. Like, he's got a lot of family in Boston. Mm-hmm. Big Boston fan. And his wife is a Yankee fan.
Oh, okay.
So which is, they're both from New York. It's pretty funny. So,
yeah, it's amazing. It's like that movie Fever Pitch. I mean, it's probably true how Red Sox fans are there. Yeah it's
a good
movie.
And then he became a TV talk show host.
Jimmy Fallon.
I think he's a better actor than he is a host.
I think so, too.
Right? Yeah.
I've actually seen him live at the Phoenix or at the Tempe Improv, and I didn't think he was that good in person. In his movies, a lot of them are decent. He's not a great actor, but he's pretty funny.
He's pretty funny,
I saw Bridesmaids.
What'd you think?
Yeah. It was funny. That main star, I forgot her name. I think she's been
Kristen
on.
Kristen Wiig,
She's
very
funny.
She's
talented.
She's
really?
Good, yeah.
Is she on Saturday Night Live?
She is. I don't know if she
very
still
good.
Is, but she was for a while.
Excellent.
Yeah.
She's a talent.
Yeah, it's pretty. I've lost touch with Saturday Night Live that I don't even know the characters that are breaking away and starting movies now.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to know, like, Jimmy Fallon's in movies now.
Yeah.
And Will Ferrell and, you know. But it's really amazing if you think about the history of SNL with Steve Martin and Bill Murray and, like, all the guys that
incredible
have started
talent.
There. And then, like, Jim Carrey was
In
Living Color.
Yeah.
But that was still kind of similar. But
right, yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of people from Mad TV breaking out into movies.
Yeah, you don't. Not quite as much.
No.
Because it's not as good.
I never really watched Mad TV, but I do believe that Artie Lang may have been on there.
He's
on with Howard
Stern.
And he's been in some movies, but maybe a few others have had little roles. You know, we'll have to look that up because I'm sure there's some stuff. But SNL definitely has been the tradition. It's just so rich over the years. And, you know, again, I don't even know who's on there now. But even like the MacGruber guy, Will
Forte.
Oh,
yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, not many people know about him, but some of the movies he's been in, like Beer Fest, I mean, he's just hilarious.
MacGruber from Andy of Mayberry?
MacGruber.
No, like that was
like,
Gruber.
It's like a remake.
MacGyver.
Yeah,
kind of. Making fun
really?
Of it. Yeah, and Kristen Wiig was in that. She was the main girl.
How about
she,
Mike
she
Myers? Another guy.
Oh, yeah,
comes
Mike
out.
Myers. That was, really
pretty good talent there, right? Dana Carvey.
Well, Adam Sandler was also...
Yeah, Sandler.
There's some pretty big stars out there.
Yeah, they really, I mean...
Who's your favorite? If we had to pick one person from, what, Steve Martin to Dan
Aykroyd... Well, I don't think you can go...
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
If we do new... if we could, I could pick a new one and a favorite old one, I think. Okay, Bill Murray
your
is my favorite old
Bill Murray?
School. Yeah. Actually, I don't know. It's so hard. It's like either Bill Murray or Chevy Chase. I mean, it's
Chevy
like...
Chase.
Yeah.
They're both like...
Yeah.
Really, a red up there.
How about
there.
John Lovitz? Where does he come in?
I've never been a John Lovitz fan.
Really? People say I look like him.
I don't like
him. Didn't say anything about the guy's looks.
I really don't like the way John Lovitz looks.
Yeah. But how about his character where he lied and it was funny?
He had some good moments, but I think Dana Carvey, when you
talent.
Go back,
great talent, right?
At least in our generation here. Now, I haven't seen, obviously, a lot of the shows that they had in the 70s and 80s. I'm sure there's DVDs out there. Though mm-hmm. that I could get, but Billy Crystal on it too? Or
yeah, I think
Billy
he maybe
in the 80s. Or,
really?
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
Yeah, Billy Crystal is good.
How about the new ones? Who kind of, Will Ferrell, probably.
I like Will Ferrell a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of his characters have. The newer movies, like the ones that he's done lately, are just kind of. They're too template, I think. You know,
sort of. He does like kind of the same type.
What was that racing one that he did?
Talladega Nights.
And Step Brothers. I'm not saying they're not funny. It's just they're so similar. And the same thing happened with Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
they're really funny, and then they just all of them very similar. And then he did that Little Nicky movie, and it just kind of completely lost it.
Right. His way of coming back a little with Sandler is he gets more dramatic, I think, in some of his movies.
I like the really serious Sandler movies that he does.
Oh,
where he plays a serious role. I think he does a really good job.
Right.
He does a great job. And when we come back from our break, we're going to ask Spencer the best Will Ferrell movie of all time. And then we'll get into websites. We'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel starring Spencer Thornock. And we have in studio guests from the Sports Talk Show on Wednesday and Friday, Greg Isaac. So wearing his Dodger uniform. Now, as promised,
thank you,
we said we would disclose our favorite Will Ferrell movie.
Yes.
We're going to all say it at the same time in the count of three. We don't know what each other is going to say. I know what I'm going to say, all Spencer. Right. You know what you're going to say, Greg. You
People.
Know what you're going to say. Oh, Kurt, do you have one, too? Don't say it yet, but you can chime in, too. We're all going to say our favorite Will Ferrell movie
yes.
of all time on the count of three. One, two, three. Ron
Anchorman.
Burgundy. What?
Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Oh, I said Ron Burgundy.
All four of us.
Oh,
yeah.
That's, yeah, that's
they were
like,
going
oh,
to make.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were going to make a sequel too, but something fell through recently. It was actually, I think, about 2 weeks ago. Will Ferrell wasn't happy about something because he wanted to make the sequel, and then somebody
said,
"I don't know if it was the studio or something happened." But
yeah.
hopefully, I wouldn't mind seeing
that. I love that,
but
movie.
I like
movie,
it the way
yeah.
it is. Yeah,
Paul Rudd,
everyone's
yeah.
in
he
it.
Is excellent,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
Steve
oh, yeah.
Carell made it.
Steve Carell was good.
Made it big that, and then
one
who was
the
other guy?
David Kochner. I can't
right,
pronounce
remember that
He's
guy.
Pretty funny.
Well, there was Christina
yeah.
Applegate, too.
She was
oh,
she's
yeah.
always on it. She's
Married
always
with
fun.
Children.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah.
Don't
well,
tell Mom the babysitter's dead. Did you ever see that
yeah.
one?
Yeah. yeah.
Ron Burgundy, Anchorman.
And then yeah. all the cameos in that, Ben Stiller,
Vince
yeah. Vaughn.
Yeah,
that
Ben
funny.
Stiller, Vince Vaughn.
Everyone's
yeah,
really.
It was good.
All right, who's your favorite best Vince Vaughn movie?
Wow.
I
got
I
one.
Go
I know one.
On okay. the
yeah.
count of three. One.
This is like Vince Vaughn roulette.
Wait, I have to remember the title. oh, yeah. One, two, three.
Swingers.
Wedding Crashers.
Swingers.
What?
Swingers.
Yeah.
yeah.
How Swingers. About Wedding Crashers?
Wedding Crashers was good.
That was
yeah.
good.
Swingers was classic,
Swinger,
though.
Classic. Plus, Swingers is kind of based on real events that him and Jon Favreau went
Were
through.
Were they? Really?
Oh.
Yeah, when they first moved
He's
to
talented,
L.A.
Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
We need to clarify for yeah. Radioland that that movie is just about, you know, these guys at party.
oh, yeah. It's
dating.
Not about...
It's a dating a show about dating.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good so. Point. And, all right. How about one last one? Favorite... Robert Redford movie.
I don't.
Come on now.
Robert right, Redford. Oh, I've got one actually.
Okay.
I do.
One, two, three.
Sneakers.
Butch Cassidy.
I haven't
Sunday.
Seen
I just
Sneakers,
saw
but
Sneakers.
I heard that was
really
good.
That was
that
a, good
a good movie.
Movie.
Yeah. yeah. One of my favorites.
That was good.
One of my.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah. First
no,
favorite
yeah.
kind of computer hacker movies that was.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it
was
really
good.
Good. Yeah.
All right, so what's one last one? Favorite Bill Murray movie?
Favorite Bill Murray movie?
I'm just throwing
think.
It out.
I think
Caddyshack.
It's, Caddyshack is, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Now,
how about Lost in Translation? He up for Best Actor.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Sort of interesting.
Scarlett Johansson.
She's
yeah.
cute.
What
yeah,
about
she,
Bob was good?
Said, what about Bob?
yeah.
yeah.
That
oh,
was classic my. Right there.
And that the might be the best one.
That was
no,
really
no,
good.
The best one. No, there's something better. All time, one in the top five of my all-time favorite
really?
Movies.
Really?
A Bill yeah. Murray movie?
Bill Murray, right, Kurt?
Sure.
Oh,
wow.
I'll say yes to anything.
Was this 80s or somewhat recent?
In the 90s.
In the 90s.
Are you talking about
yes.
the one with the ship?
Sounds like.
The ship?
Oh, no.
Man, with Bill Murray.
A great actress was in it. The model, Andy
Oh, Groundhog Day.
That was a great
Groundhog
movie,
Day
right?
was.
Pretty
that
good.
Was 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of
that
90s.
Was
early
90s.
Christopher
right,
Lloyd was in that.
Was he?
Chris Elliott.
Oh, Chris Elliott.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chris Elliott.
And he was on SNL
yeah, Chris
back
Elliott.
In the day,
Did you
too.
Ever catch his show that he had for like one season?
No, I never.
It was called Get a Life.
Yeah, yeah, he tried. I know Ben Stiller used to have a show, too, back in, I think, the early 90s.
Ben Stiller did, really?
Maybe. Yeah, it didn't last.
I didn't realize that.
So
wow, I
wow, yeah. Bill Murray. Yeah, I'm excited for Ghostbusters 3 because I think that's going to.
Are they really doing a Ghostbusters 3?
I think they were waiting on Bill Murray, so wow. But I think that they are going to go ahead with it. So that would
have
be.
Have you seen the new show Community? With it's actually got Chevy Chase in it.
Really? I've heard
yeah.
about it, but I haven't seen it
it's
yet.
Pretty,
so.
It's pretty amazing
yeah.
to see. You know how you know he's just
right.
You know, what he looks like now versus back in the 60s, 70s.
A lot
you know?
Different.
A lot
yeah.
different. Try not to say old.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I heard,
oh.
I've heard Chevy Chase isn't quite as nice as he used to be either. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to be nice. You can't. Favorite Chevy Chase movie real quick. I think I know what Dave will say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm
going to
say.
Okay. Are we going to do that, Dave?
Yes.
Dave, you're fixated on something.
Yeah, we have a mystery caller we'll take in about 1 second.
Wow.
Favorite Chevy Chase movie. Oh, let's get the mystery caller in now.
Are they a Chevy Chase fan?
Probably a huge Chevy Chase
fan.
Yeah,
and then we'll mention the movie. Well, joining us on line one is a mystery caller. Hello there.
Hello. The best Chevy Chase movie is Caddyshack, and I thought this was breakthrough thinking, not the breakthrough movies.
Well, we're thinking about things, these movies.
If it's none other than Gary Severs, our co-host from the Sports Talk
Hey,
Show.
Gary.
Hey, and I have a question for you. You were talking about certain people in the movies. Mm-hmm. Who was the person that beat out, or what movie beat out Raging Bull for Best Picture of 1980, and was somebody you were talking about was very instrumental in it?
Wow. 1980.
Were you born?
Was it Kevin Costner?
Well,
Robert Redford, what did he do with the movie that beat out Raging Bull in 1980?
Sundance and
Butch and Sundance was 1969. That was with Paul Newman.
Wow.
1980.
Oh, All the President's Men.
No, that was 1976.
All right.
Nominated for Best Picture and didn't win. The only Oscar nomination Redford got was for The Sting. But there was he did something even better where he did win an Oscar in 1980. What did he do?
It was a movie he made?
The movie, yes,
did it involve sports?
No. Involved sport. It involved Chicago. I'll give you the
It answer. Involved Chicago. It was the hit mafia or?
No, he directed. He was the best director of the year for Ordinary People.
Ordinary People.
Okay.
I just found it on Google.
Wow, that was quick. How did you do that?
I was trying to. I should have had you guys roll it, keep it going a little bit, so I could look like I knew it.
All right. Well, what?
He convinced Mary Tyler Moore to take that role, Beth Jarrett, which was totally different than anything she'd ever done on TV. She was petrified that people wouldn't like her for being somewhat unsympathetic. And Timothy Hutton was the youngest actor ever to win Best Supporting Actor. He really should have been nominated for Best Actor, but he won Best Supporting Actor. He was only 19.
Wow. That's incredible.
I thought this was breakthrough thinking, guys. But,
we're trying
to
break through here.
Yeah, it's a breakthrough.
We're trying to break and we're trying to think. So
yeah.
Well, we had a caller breakthrough.
So. All right. since we have Gary on the line, your favorite Frank Sinatra movie.
Wow.
The one that he won the Oscar for was From Here to Eternity in 1953, playing the part of Maggio.
Oh.
Maggio.
He won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar, where Ernest Borgnine killed him, and that was the Best Picture of 1953.
All right, favorite among all the people here, favorite Al Pacino movie.
Ooh,
that's an easy one.
Son of a Woman, the one he won the Oscar for, with 1993, and the kid that's on TV now, Chris O'Donnell played the foil for him.
Right. How about Godfather 1?
Yeah.
Right.
I like Godfather 1, but he hasn't played that so much. I love it when he was, he was so, I like it when he's extroverted like that. Serpico would probably be my second favorite.
Hoo-ah.
I like Donnie Brasco. I thought that was a really
good
one.
That was good.
That was good.
Johnny Depp.
That was like kind of a newer one, but.
Right.
Actually, he just won an Emmy for Know Jack, playing Jack Kevorkian.
That was good.
I didn't see that yet. That's,
That was quite a good movie.
I didn't see it, but I think it was one of those.
All right, how about
HBO.
This? This is new and old. Everyone's going to appreciate this. Your favorite Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, wow.
Right? You like Tom
Hanks,
right?
I would go with Big.
I would say the toughest to watch, but the best thing he ever did was Philadelphia, the first Oscar.
That was good. That was
really good. Big and Dragnet. I really thought Dragnet was pretty funny. Back
well,
with, Dan
that's
Aykroyd.
Because you're so young. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But Philadelphia was good. He did a good job there. Castaway,
not Forrest Gump?
Good.
I thought Forrest Gump was good.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. You know, John Travolta was supposed to be Forrest Gump. And then,
really?
Yeah. I forgot what happened.
Your favorite?
John Travolta?
He was original
Favorite
choice.
John Travolta movie.
Oh,
that's easy.
Pulp Fiction.
Well, I would say, critics wouldn't say this, but I would say Grease. I enjoyed him in Grease because I saw that done even before it went to Broadway. I know what you're. I know there are a lot more popular movies, and he did get two Oscar nominations.
I would say Face Off.
I like Face Off. Because he did so good.
Was that good?
The nice guy, the bad guy.
No, wasn't that a great movie?
Probably Nicolas Cage best movie, because after that he turned a little crazy.
Okay, favorite Nicolas Cage movie.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
That was amazing.
The best Nicolas Cage movie was the one he won the Oscar for, about staying in Las Vegas or something.
Oh,
Las Vegas.
That was good. Leaving
with
Las
Elizabeth,
Vegas.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
When he was in high school, at Beverly Hills High School, John Ingle, who was his drama teacher, wouldn't cast him in the high school play.
Really?
John Ingle went on to be on General Hospital and won daytime Emmys. He was the drama teacher at Beverly Hills High School for 20 years and got to know everybody and had a recurring role on Dallas and then got on daytime TV. But he wouldn't cast him. Another one he wouldn't cast was Patrick Cassidy.
Who's that?
That's the guy who played Joseph in his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and right after Donny Osmond did.
Gary, I know you know this one, but we'll see if Spencer or Dave know it. What family is Nicolas Cage a part of? He had to change his name.
Francis Ford Coppola, who graduated from UCLA in 1962.
He's a cousin of Jason Schwartzman as well, who's
Coppola
a young
uncle,
comedian.
Right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Greg, I have one. Who is Dave Isaac related to this on the show right now?
We're not sure. We're still going on to Mari to see if
the DNA hasn't come.
Okay, here's a good one. I just got the other day. Who is Angelina Jolie's father?
Oh, John Voight.
Yeah.
They don't talk.
I just watched John Voight, Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
Probably because he didn't like her husband for a while.
Favorite Angelina Jolie. How about the favorite Angelina Jolie's boyfriend?
Hackers. Oh wait, no. I thought you were going with movie.
Oh, boyfriend.
Well, I would say probably Brad Pitt.
The weird one,
Billy Bob
or Billy Bob Thornton.
What did John Voight win his Best Actor Oscar for?
Wasn't that Midnight Cowboy?
Howard Cosell.
No, he was nominated for Midnight Cowboy, but lost John Wayne in True Grit.
John Wayne.
Yeah, 1969. John Wayne beat out Dustin Hoffman, John Voight, Richard Burton, and Peter O'Toole all in 1 year.
Wow,
interesting.
How does they know this? Do you know Gary?
This is Anne of a Thousand Days for Richard Burton and Goodbye, Mr. Jeff's musical for Peter O'Toole. What did John Boyd win his Oscar for?
Midnight Cowboy.
No, we already guessed that.
Howard Cosell, the movie he played Howard Cosell.
No. I'll give you a hint. It was in 1978, and it starred Jane Fonda, who also won an Oscar.
Wow.
Clute was her first Oscar in 1971 with Donald Sutherland, but that's not the one. 1978. They won Best Actor and Best Actress in this movie.
Oh, wow. On Golden Pond.
No, that was 1981. Henry Fonda won the Best Actor, and Katharine Hepburn won her fourth Best Actress for playing Henry Fonda's wife.
Oh, always.
On Golden Pond.
Right. No, always was in 88.
I'll give you another hint. It's about Vietnam.
Oh, Good Morning Vietnam.
I'm not sure.
Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, Platoon.
No, those were the 80s.
That's an 1985 picture directed by Oliver Stone.
All right, I got one.
Charlie Sheen, who's in the movie, in the news now. That's not it.
He's winning.
Yeah, I got that.
Bruce Dern plays the husband in the movie.
Hey, is Laura Dern related to Bruce Dern?
Yes.
Is it the daughter?
Yes.
Dave, you're going to lose a dollar if you don't guess the right. What's this very famous movie?
And it's from 1978.
Right, it's about Vietnam, and John Boyd wins Best Actor, and Jane Fonda wins Best Actress.
What does
Hanoi Hilton?
No,
who?
Coming Home.
Coming Home. Is
Coming
that,
Home. Oh, I think I saw that.
I haven't seen that one.
I'm
yet.
So young then.
Yeah, I know. You were still
horrible. All right, one last one before we go to the break. The best favorite Woody Allen movie?
Oh, man.
Bananas with Howard Cosell.
Yeah, that was good.
Or is that your opinion, or are you just telling us?
No, I would say the critics would say its best picture was Annie Hall, which was the best Annie picture in 76.
All right, one more.
Wait, Spencer had one.
Okay, I got one. Who financed on any Sunday the motorcycle flick from the 60s?
No, that was a football with Al Pacino.
No, that's any given Sunday. On any Sunday. Who financed it? Who paid for the movie?
A wild guess, Burt Reynolds.
No.
Steve McQueen.
Yeah. For the win.
Didn't we just find out about Steve McQueen earlier?
Steve McQueen's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He was good. Didn't you just tell me something about Steve McQueen?
I believe Steve McQueen's son is the stepson of Luke Robitaille, best player in L.A. Kings history, not named Wayne Gretzky. And there's been news on Robitaille because his house is actually going into foreclosure, but hopefully everything works out there.
Yes.
Robitaille is president of business operations for the L.A. Kings, favorite player of all time.
That was supposed to be confidential. Hello.
Yes. Okay, just no, we all know about
breaking
it.
News.
I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding, though. He'll be
so
okay.
So anyone want to buy a house?
Yeah. Santa Monica. Go ahead,
Greg. You're getting a day ahead of yourself. Breaks Through Sports is tomorrow, Wednesday, 2 to 4.
That's right.
Steve McQueen, what was the TV series that made him famous? That was
Sand Pebble.
In the 50s? No. That was a movie in 1965 with Richard Crenna. But what was the TV series in the late 50s, early 60s that made
him Bullet.
Star?
Bullet.
What?
No, it was a
TV series.
It was a Western. It was a Western.
It was a Western, that's right.
That's all they made in
I'm
the 50s.
I'm trying to think of the name
60s.
Of it.
Get Smart.
Bonanza or whatever?
No, not Bonanza. Big Valley.
Adams won an Emmy in 68 and 69 for Get Smart.
How about Big Valley?
No, it was Wanted Dead or Alive.
Yeah, Wanted Dead or Alive.
Oh!
He played opposite lead. And he played kind of a villain role.
Chuck Connors, 1959, former Dodger.
The Rifleman.
Oh, he knew.
He also played for the Cubs.
All right, then who's...
Johnny Crawford played his son.
I'm just going to ask that.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. This guy's an encyclopedia of
That's
what
he is. That's what we call him.
It's amazing.
All right, best Meryl Streep movie.
Best Meryl what?
Streep, or whatever her name is.
Kramer versus Kramer, best supporting actress.
No, Mamma Mia.
I'm going to go with Death Becomes Her.
Why are we talking about Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep sings as well as you do, Dave. I mean, she's a great actress. She's our greatest curse for an actress.
But she can't sing.
Best Marilyn Monroe movie.
Some Like It Hot.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, that was good, right?
Directed by Billy Wilder with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon.
Wow.
How's
Were you
know
born
that?
With this knowledge? Wow. I'm amazed.
I got a UCLA film degree, guys. I cheated, I guess.
You cheated?
No,
can't
it's
say
all
that
in
there.
It's all locked in the vault, man. You didn't cheat.
Yeah.
There's no way. If you cheated, you wouldn't know any of this stuff.
We have a TV show, Gary, just based
we need to have a,
your
here,
knowledge.
We should have a show where we get Gary on and we get someone that knows something, you know, enough about film and movies, and then me with Google and see who can win in the contest. Of,
that's a big, good idea.
Yeah, like I'll like, just with my, I'll search Google, find the answers, we'll see who can win faster.
That
I
is
bet a, you Gary, well, Gary would need to moderate a little bit. I don't know if he could compete. He'd beat me. But
now, what was the TV series that Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac starred in?
Dun, dun, dun.
You guys...
Oh, MASH.
No, were All you? In the Family.
You starred in a... What?
Yeah, I'm just,
I was born in 85, but I was still on the show in the 70s.
Yeah, I used to call him Meathead.
All in the Family.
You remember that?
That sounds just wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a guy. I live with two female roommates. One is blonde and one is brunette. Name the
Three's
show.
Three's Company.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah,
that was good.
That's kind of our joke around the house.
John Ritter.
Okay. And, which one of that? Those. That,
oh, do you also live with two female roommates?
Yep.
Oh,
you do.
Yeah, I kill a lot of spiders.
Okay.
Oh,
all Gary, before you go on. I'm going to ask you a question, as well as everyone in the studio, Spencer, Greg, Kurt, and Gary.
Yes.
Speaking about Three's Company, what cast member did I teach his daughter? There was a cast member that I actually taught the guitar.
Don Knotts, his daughter.
No, absolutely not.
Wait,
Greg, Spencer.
Well, I know it, but I'll let Spencer
know. What? Or Kurt.
Yeah.
Suzanne Summers.
I wish, but no. I taught this.
His daughter.
Norman Fell.
Yes, Norman Fell,
really?
Ladies and gentlemen. Tracy Fell.
You play guitar?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in a rock and roll group.
Really?
Yeah,
they weren't very good, but yeah.
I can believe it.
I have another question for you. John Ritter had a very famous father. What did he do in 1951, which was the best score and best song of the year? What movie?
Oh, it was Great Western.
It was a Great Western.
What?
It was a Western,
yeah.
I don't know what
song,
it is.
The name of the song is Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, and the title of the movie was with Grace Kelly and Gary Cooper.
Yeah?
High Noon.
I don't know.
Oh, High
That's
Noon.
What it's called.
I remember.
Now here's one regarding, and this brings a little sports back into it. Jack Nicholson, obviously one of the great actors of our time and your time too, Dave and Gary. Who sits next to him at the Laker games? What is the name of the gentleman that's
Tony
always
Kubiak.
Next to him? Gary,
Leonardo
do you know
DiCaprio.
This? No.
Is it an actor as well, or is he just a...
He's a music guy.
Mr.
Used to write music. He has the beard, kind of looks like Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
No.
It looks like him, isn't actually.
What is his name?
Is he one of the guys from ZZ Top?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
That's my only guess.
I don't believe so.
Little Sutherland. The little guy.
Lou Adler.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's good.
Yeah.
How is he doing, Greg?
He's great. Well, we got him coming in a little bit, so.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Dave, I've probably been on your show too long, so I'm trying to listen to Breakthrough Thinking. So far, it hasn't been on yet today, but I'll continue to listen to 10 a.m. You have a great show, and Greg...
Yes.
It's great when you're on. It makes the show even better. Well,
yeah. Thank you, Gary.
And Gary, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to discuss ASU softball. They are seeded one Friday NCAA tournament. Go ASU.
Well, as you know, Dave, I know nothing about sports. It's only film.
Yeah, right. You should hear him on sports. He knows everything.
I believe it.
Yeah. If I said Marcel Dion, what do you say?
he's a mime.
Yeah. All right. We'll know the answer tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary. And that was our own Gary Sievers from the Sports Show. Boy, he really does know a lot about movies.
That was ironic that you brought up Steve McQueen because we were talking earlier about Steve McQueen. I didn't even know really who he was, but
he's a good actor. He died a little young, though.
Yeah, he's doing the Great Escape. Obviously, is one of his classics.
Yeah, because his real son Stephen McQueen is on. I don't watch the show, but The Vampire Diaries. But the reason it's significant is Luke Robitaille.
Do. You watch it.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I watched
Luke
Robitaille's
been
you like Twilight?
Since I've been born.
I watched the first one and then.
I like Twilight a bit, but I haven't watched it. But I just thought it was funny because Luke Robitaille, he's been my favorite player, since I was born, basically. And I had no clue until about a year ago that his son, that was always at the events with him, mm-hmm. was actually his stepson. I think he may have adopted him though. I'm like, his name's Stephen McQueen. Why is it that? And then I looked up and saw that
he's got to be pretty old.
Steve McQueen used to be with Robitaille's wife, and then
he's
got to
be as old as Robitaille, the son.
The son. Well, Robitaille looks young, but the son's probably only in his early 20s, I'd say.
Oh,
I think the wife's older.
Well,
than
it would have to be his grandson then, because Steve McQueen died when he was 50. It was the 1980.
Yeah.
So he was 50 in 1980. Oh, so it would have to be his grandson or something.
Yeah,
maybe that's what
out.
It was. Yeah. But it was some famous with the McQueens.
Yeah, because he would be 80 now.
Yeah.
If he was still alive.
Okay.
So unless he's like Hugh Hefner. Then maybe.
Well, he could have been.
Hugh Hefner's getting married June 18th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say I met a playmate? Can I say I met a playmate?
You can say it.
All right.
You did.
We met a playmate. Can we interview her?
What about what about for the dating show? I'll go on the dating show.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Do it.
No
do it.
Match.
No.
No match.
Yeah.
No, I think
that's a great idea.
I'm sorry. I think I'll take
that. Whoa.
There's the playmate.
The playmate.
Hugh Hefner, June 18th, really? Getting married. Can you believe it?
That's good. Good for Hugh.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it? Yeah.
Has he ever been married, or is this
the third time, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Third marriage. I did a little research.
Third.
As soon as I met the playmate, I did the research. Okay. And when we come back from our break, we will continue our discussion. I think we may get into websites about that.
We'll wrap it all together.
We'll wrap it all together, and we'll be right back.
Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel / Movie Night with Spencer Thornock. And, of course, we've been talking a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. We didn't talk website, though.
We haven't yet. And Spencer was right on. Yeah. Luke Robitaille's stepson, Stephen R. McQueen, is the grandson of Stephen McQueen.
Makes sense. Right.
But still in the family tree, which is interesting.
Well,
you know.
Steve had, I think, two wives, I think, and then he had children with the second wife.
Oh, okay. And
then so who did Luke marry, the second wife?
No, Luke married his son's ex-wife. So Chad McQueen, Steve McQueen's son, was married or with Stacy, or Stacia, as we call her, Luke Robitaille's wife. And I guess they broke up. Then Luke was a young hockey player in Los Angeles, and him and Stacia got married, and she's great, too. But Luke's been one of the great figures in L.A. sports. And hopefully the news coming out sounds negative. I'm trying to put a positive spin that there might be. I know TMZ's been covering it a lot with Robitaille because he's such a big part of the L.A. sports scene. But he's a good guy, and I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding with the whole foreclosure.
So are you a Lakers fan?
I am.
Are you bummed that they didn't make it through?
I'm bummed, but, you know, I give it up to Dallas. They played really well, and, you know, and I wish them luck the rest of the way. But I think the Lakers, if they can get their chemistry issues fixed and get some rest, I think even with the roster they have, they can still be strong next year. But
that was pathetic.
Well, I know. Those performance-enhancing drugs, the chemistry on those have to be just perfect. So
That's what they said with Barry Bonds. But
now, speaking of TMZ, you've heard of that?
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know.
I went to school with Harvey Levin.
He's the host?
Yeah.
What?
Really? High school, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he used to film Dave. And no, I'm kidding.
I should call him and get him on the show. Would you like him on your show?
Yeah. That's how TMZ started. No, filming Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, I went
to school with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, we should get him calling the show or something.
You want me to do that?
Yeah.
I was thinking. I was looking up his website the other day.
It's fun to watch. I mean, even though I'm not a celebrity gossip type thing. But still, it's interesting to it's one of those things that's fun. You can't always take everything seriously, obviously, but
it's interesting because it really what I always notice when I watch is, it's funny. But then I realized how when you're a celebrity, it's just – you know, because there's a million TMZs out there that aren't big like TMZ, but they're trying to be. So, like, you just go through the airport and you just get approached by people with cameras.
Right.
And it's just, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that at all.
Dave gets it already. I mean, what do you think about it? You beat up that camera guy once.
No, I didn't do that. That was someone else.
Oh, that was Sean Lovitz. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you really beat up a camera?
No.
Who was that? Someone did, though, right?
Oh, no, I'm sure a lot of people have. I don't want to say names because not 100%
you
sure.
You push a camera and then it just gets blown out of proportion.
Yeah, you know. That's right. So, well, let's see. Should we, you want to talk a little website?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. So,
let's try to keep it as entertaining as the first half.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
First 75%.
All right, well, we could relate it to what we're talking about.
Yes.
Do you think, because of all the great technology that people we'll start having TV shows on the internet, and it might diminish the big networks?
No.
No.
Well, yes and no. I think it's a long way off. But there's actually there are internet-based networks now. Revision 3 is a big one that's mostly about technology shows. Because a lot of the people that watch internet shows are geeky. So there are a lot. I mean, there's a huge channels and just for, you know, technology shows and things that are coming out. There are a lot of sports, too. And there's a lot of people that have, you know, video podcasts, video channels on YouTube. And it is getting more and more community and viral. But the where I see it going is because the big networks have a lot of money and a lot of resources. So they're going to be around for a long time. But it's going to move towards an on-demand environment where it's delivered through the internet. We don't have the traditional, you know, we may have the cables and things like that, but mostly just for internet connections. But it's all going to be on-demand with some sort of way for them to advertise using that. Because it's all about the advertising, that, you know, because obviously that's how they make their money. But
isn't it, it's a lot cheaper, though, if someone wanted to produce a show on the internet. So I guess it's possible, right?
Yeah, but it's cheaper, but at the same time, you know, you know, the quality, the shows on like HBO and they, or those are well produced, well made.
The marketing behind it. I mean, people are going on HBO anyways. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to watch this. But if it's on the internet, even if it's a show that's just as good, they're not going to know that it's even there.
I think it's a little ways in the future before. I think the big shift, especially with Netflix, is Netflix subscriber base is almost as it's rivaling Comcast. That was just an article that I just saw.
Really?
So they're getting to the point where they're starting to be able to demand. The company itself is getting to just, you know, be able to get more attention from the studios and get better content. So you're going to see Netflix, you know, I think with a subscription base, you know, how much money are you really making per, you know, viewer from advertising? So just switch it to a consumer, an actual subscription model where you're each consumer is paying what they would normally calculate to be their value of, you know, advertising, and then, you know, shift it to an on-demand environment, or maybe do some advertising in between shows on Netflix. Well, I mean,
what are your thoughts on the Roku box?
What is? I've never heard of it.
I hadn't either until recently. What it is you buy this box, and it's not even that expensive for what it can do. It's like $50-$60. And on there, you get Netflix, you get YouTube, you get all these different things connected to your TV and internet. Okay. And the only subscription really you'd have to pay is Netflix, which is not too, probably, you know, what, $10 a month maybe.
Yeah.
But everything else, I mean, it's just on there.
Yeah, I think you know, you're seeing that also, too, with a lot of the smart TVs that are coming out. They're like internet-ready TVs that have an interface so you can do YouTube and things. And then actually Google has produced a set-top box for Google TV, which they're trying to get into the TV market, which actually I bought one for my dad and his wife for Christmas because it does web conferencing on the TV. So when my sisters are out of state, so they do the web conference. We're sitting in the living room and doing video chat. But it has a Chrome web browser. It basically is a little computer that's built just for the internet for your HD TV, which is great. I at home, my big screen is not even hooked up to any sort of cable. I use a Plex media server, which does like kind of the Netflix and YouTube, and I actually can get Hulu, so I can do all of like the shows through Hulu Plus.
Wow.
Through the TV, I can do like, and it has a subscription and app base for all of the different internet TV stations.
Wow.
And then what I do is I just do recorded media that's served over my network for what I want to watch.
Wow.
And it has a really slick interface. It's very, very, you know, it's nice. It works with that. I use it with a MacBook Pro. I use a little Apple remote.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it just completely rearranges because my environment for TV is all on demand. And the nice thing about not having it hooked up to cable, other than the fact that I don't catch sports stuff and the stuff that's live, but like I don't ever catch myself just sitting there surfing and killing time. Like I only watch what I've got.
What's
ready,
on there?
You know?
Right. No, that's
which
good.
I think is it limits the amount of total time. Plus, I never see commercials. It's all edited out.
That's good.
So, it's really changing. I mean, I think it's going to move more towards that kind of a thing where the home entertainment is going to be more closely integrated with your computer, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot smarter of an environment.
Right, right.
So do you think then the big movie theaters, the Harkins, AMC, will they go under?
I think they're in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. It's interesting because you see a lot of like the post-apocalyptic movies where all the theaters are out of business or they're showing things that, you know, different markets. But I think they're in trouble because of the prices that they're increasing the prices, and the economy's, it's just people are still going, but their numbers are dwindling, and the studios are still producing movies, but I really think they're losing. There's so many reboots and remakes. They're just not producing a lot of quality, unique cinema anymore. I really am disappointed. Like, they're just going back 30 years and remaking all the movies that were classics and shouldn't have been messed with, and expecting them to do just as well as they did then,
And there's so many more coming in terms of reboots and a lot of
sequels. They're remaking Romancing the Stone.
They're redoing that. Now, who's going to redoing or remake?
Remaking it, yeah.
Who's going to star in that?
I don't even know.
I mean, I thought Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Excellent movie.
Yeah. That was when she was a girl. And, yeah, she was.
Wait,
she
not a girl anymore?
She's not a girl anymore?
Have you heard of that girl, Kathleen's voice?
She sounds like this.
When she talks, she really does. Yeah. She's still a girl.
But she is a woman still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought at least Dave would know, but. Yeah,
I haven't heard her voice.
I don't know if she's been in anything extremely recently, but I know.
All right, I got
inside
one.
Running joke. Yeah.
It's a departure from websites, but that's okay. Your favorite Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner movie. There's three of them.
I've only seen Romancing the Stone with them.
And they had the sequel, right?
And then did they do a sequel to that?
I think so. And there's one other. Which one was it? Danny DeVito was in it.
Well, he was in Romancing the Stone, too.
Oh, something about a roses.
The War of the Roses. Yeah. Remember that?
I've never seen that.
Excellent.
I didn't see it.
Oh, that was great.
I'll have to go watch that.
You won't ever want to get married after that.
You know, it's a great movie that I think they should just keep exactly the same way and redo the soundtrack.
Which one?
Is Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
That movie is a great movie, the soundtrack, because I had never seen it, and I'd heard great things about it, and then I watched it, and I loved it, but... The soundtrack with the piano riff back, same thing. It's like, it reminded me of like the music from
Grease.
That movie Moonlighting, or the TV show Moonlighting. It's Bruce Willis. That like kind of like jazzy kind of piano riff. It was like over and over and over.
Right, it should have been different.
You know, they could really remake that whole movie and just keep it identical and just redo the soundtrack and re-release it. Great.
Your favorite Demi Moore movie?
Whew.
I haven't really liked Demi Moore.
Oh,
really?
No.
The looks or the personality or
both? I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know.
This is interesting. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Because I was going to say that my favorite Robert Redford's Indecent Proposal only because of Demi Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was good in A Few Good Men, though. Wasn't she in that?
Yeah, she was in...
She wasn't really the lead or anything in that.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
She was good in that, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, we'll scratch the Demi Moore. But St. Elmo's Fire was good.
Never seen that.
Really?
She was in a lot of the 80s movies. And
what about favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Oh.
Really? is that My Kid?
What?
Kurt likes that one. Oh,
looking for your child.
Arnold was.
Have you heard about the news this morning? No.
Arnold, the reason why him and Maria Shriver split up is Arnold confessed that he had a child.
10 years ago.
Yeah,
wow.
With another woman. Bummer. That used to actually work for them.
And he didn't want to say while he was running for governor because he probably wouldn't have won.
Probably not. Yeah.
He's not governor anymore, though, is he?
No. That's why he said, okay, it's time to confess.
I don't know if that would stop him from winning again in California. Come on.
Maybe not. No, you're probably right. Favorite Arnold movie?
Wow. That's
a tough one, but...
I think T2.
I love
T2.
No, what
I
is
really
that?
Liked
who was
Predator.
Absolutely, give me
original.
That.
Predator is
no doubt about
Predator
it.
Was
that
was one her. Of his best.
Yeah,
I think.
That is good. Yeah,
yeah. But T2 was my favorite Terminator movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I loved all of them, and I loved the TV show. Yeah, I'm a huge
TV show.
Terminator
I haven't seen
fan.
It yet. Yeah.
Yeah, the show is great. It's on Netflix. You should go if you have Netflix.
Oh, I think he's going to make more movies now.
He's going to make a Terminator 5.
Yeah, they're making another one.
A 5?
Yeah. Yeah, they find out John Connor's his son. And no, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, his robot son.
Yeah.
Skynet had a child.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. So your favorite line from when Arnold was the governator.
Favorite line from his? I didn't ever.
I
don't know. I
didn't pay much attention to it. Yeah.
Favorite
girly man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Girly man.
Yeah, remember he said that? It was hysterical. He's talking about the Democrats.
Oh. I don't know.
He goes, a bunch of girly men. And they got in trouble over it.
They were calling you a girly man.
It's like,
oh, come on. There's,
yeah, I mean,
everyone
cares?
Gets mad when someone gets insulted.
It is sort of weird. There's no doubt. So, all right. So, let's say your favorite website designer, Spencer.
Wow. That's a tough one.
No,
he's my favorite
one.
No,
we just said.
Actually, you know what?
I just said your name, Spencer.
Well, I have a favorite one.
And oh, we only got 1 minute.
There's a designer. His name's... Anyway, he runs a website called The Oatmeal, and it's great.
The Oatmeal?
The Oatmeal.
Well, I'm voting for
really?
Spencer Thornack as the best website designer
here. Best one on this show right now.
No, the best one, period. And Spencer Thornack, thank you so much. This was a unique show today.
Yeah.
And how do they get in touch with you?
Go to reallyfastwebsites.com.
That's
really fast. Well, actually, one reallyfastwebsites.com.
Absolutely. And stay tuned, of course, for tomorrow, Breakthrough Sports. We have Sarah McClellan from the Arizona Republic calling in talking about ASU softball, seeded number one.
Wow.
Starts this Friday. Everyone have a great night. See you tomorrow.